Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, most people start out a new year with some kind of resolution. But I'm going to start this one with a confession. It's not a very flattering confession, so I hope you won't think less of me for it. But as I navigate the confession, you'll be glad to know that I've made a lot of good progress in a lot of good ways on it. Here's the confession. In many situations and circumstances, I can become intensely competitive, not necessarily in good ways. I don't really remember the age, but it was somewhere around the age of give or take 10 or so, where on our way home from a church event, I got sufficiently scolded by my mom for my behavior during what I remember to be a kickball game at that church event. Well, rather than wondering what actions had drawn the ire of my mom, I wondered how my mom even knew about my behavior during the game. Well, as it turns out, my sister ratted me out because what she observed in me during that game, she felt was completely out of line, and she needed to let my mom know. Well, as I got into my college years, the intense competitiveness in me didn't really subside or lessen all that much. I played in a lot of different types of athletic leagues, from flag football leagues to basketball leagues to softball leagues, and I could share story after story after story of times and examples when that intense competitiveness in me manifested itself in not so nice ways. But rather than to bore you with those stories about me, I'm going to do what most of us do in confessions and examples and stories of things that aren't so flattering to us. I'm going to throw some other people under the bus, specifically my wife's family. When we get together, we play a lot of different kinds of games. We play yard games and board games and all sorts of different activities that we do together as a family. And though they are always for fun, there is almost always some type of a competitive aspect to them. They involve different types of rules challenges and usually quite a bit of smack talk and strategy moves and things like that. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you're a child, like when my kids were young, they wouldn't take it easy and let my kids win, because they had to win. So there's always this competitive aspect to the family games that take place when we're together. Denise's grandma, who passed away in 2008, was affectionately known as the silent assassin. She would sit over there all quiet and passive, and then all of a sudden she would just pounce mercilessly on whoever she had to win or to make her move. And we would all just kind of look at her and go, like, what just happened? And she just looked back at us with this little smile and then simply claim her victory. Why are we so competitive? We are competitive because we know something. And what we know is that winning is better than not winning. Now, if we were to shift gears from sports or family games or something like that, and focus on the areas in life that matter most, even non-competitive people in sports and games would tend to agree that winning is better than not winning. But there's a question around these areas in life that if we fail to ask, we will never win in the areas that matter most in life. There's a question that few ask and rarely answer, but so much hinges on this question. Here's the question. What's the win? we will never win in our relationships unless we figure out what the win is relationally. We will never win as husbands or wives or parents or friends unless we know what the win looks like in those areas that matter most. Can you imagine having a job and your boss telling you to go out and win at your job, but not ever telling you what the expectations are, not ever telling you what the win looks like? You see, we'll never win at our job unless we clarify what it looks like. And when it comes to our finances, we will never manage finances effectively unless we know what it looks like to win in the areas of money and stuff and generosity. When we fail to answer this question, we often end up running a race that we don't even know where the course is, let alone the finish line. We don't even know. It's like playing a game when you don't even know what the rules are. And so you just begin to pursue things. And sometimes we pursue things that don't matter as much as we think they matter, because we think they matter more than they really do. And the reason why is because we didn't take time to ask the question, what's the win? The early church leader Paul wrote about winning in a letter to the first century church in Corinth. And what he writes is something that many of us can probably connect with, because what he writes about winning actually comes out of having chosen the wrong win initially. And if you're anything like me, maybe there's been an area of life or a season in life where you've chosen the wrong win initially and have found yourself pursuing things that don't matter as much as you think they do, when you could be pursuing things so much better and so much more important. Well, the early church leader Paul, what he writes, he enters the pages of history as a Jewish Pharisee by the name of Saul. And his win was to put an end to the Jesus movement, which posed a threat to the Jewish religious system. And his goal was to preserve the Jewish religious system at all costs. And so he traveled the region, and he had followers of Jesus arrested and tortured, and some of them were even put to death. And all along, Paul thought he was winning for God. And then he came face to face with the resurrected Jesus. And as a result, he spent the remainder of his life pursuing the win of inviting people to follow Jesus. And here's what he writes about winning that many of us can connect with and maybe even make a change in the approach that we take to things that matter most in life. He writes, "Though I am free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." Now, we tend to bristle pretty quickly whenever we hear or read the word slave. But the word that Paul used in the original Greek language that he wrote in was a word that is, it's the word doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S is how we would transliterate it in the English language. And the word doulos can more effectively be translated as a servant. And so what Paul is saying is that he has chosen to be a servant to achieve the win. Though there were exceptions, in the ancient Jewish culture, the form of slavery took on more of an indentured servant, or maybe even more like an employee-employer relationship, than the type of slavery that we tend to think of today. In the Jewish households, a slave or a servant was considered an essential part of the household. And generally speaking, they were treated fairly well. And Paul says he has made himself a servant to achieve the win, to pursue the win that he had ordered his life around, which was to win as many people as possible to following Jesus. Well, this seems like a noble win. To win as many people as possible to follow Jesus sounds worthwhile and sounds noble. But it's not necessarily one that everybody is interested or ready to embrace or adopt. In fact, there are many people who don't have the whole relationship with God or view of Jesus thing figured out for themselves, let alone to adopt it as their primary win in life. Well, no matter how connected to or disconnected from God you would consider yourself, what Paul writes next gives us some steps that he took that help us figure out how to win in the areas of life that matter most. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. You see, Paul wanted to win as many Jews as possible to become followers of Jesus. He wanted to win them to an understanding that Jesus was indeed the long-awaited Messiah of the Jewish people, the one that would be sent by God to redeem and restore the nation of Israel, not in a temporal, earthly kind of kingdom, but in a God's eternal kind of kingdom way. And it may seem odd that Paul would say, to the Jews I became like a Jew, because he entered the pages of history as a Jewish Pharisee, which meant that he was one of the best Jews. But Paul says, he doesn't say that he changed who he was. It says that he basically adopted the practices of the Jews when he was with them, even though he didn't have to. Even though he was no longer bound by the Jewish law, when he was with the Jewish people, he ate the same foods. He wore the same clothes. He drank the same things. And he did this so that he was intentional about not creating a barrier of offense for them as they might consider whether or not to follow Jesus. To the Jews, I became like a Jew so that I might win as many Jewish people as possible to follow Jesus. That was Paul's win, and that's what he ordered his relationship with the Jewish people around. But notice also that Paul isn't just interested in only limiting his win to the Jewish people. He actually goes on to talk about non-Jewish people, and he says, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. Paul wanted to win those not under the law. They were also called Gentiles because they weren't of the Jewish religious belief system. He wanted to win them to understand that in Jesus, God was up to something so much more, above and beyond anything and everything that the normal Greco-Roman gods would be able to do. And so when he was with the Gentile people, he was no longer bound by the Jewish law, so he ate the same things, he wore the same clothes, and he drank the same drinks when he was with them, so that he might not create a barrier of offense to them as they might consider following Jesus. But there's something in this section of what Paul wrote, in the parentheses, that is really, really important to not overlook or dismiss. Paul says that he is still under God's law when he is under Christ's law. And the Jewish religious belief system contained the law that the Jewish people believed was God's law as given to the Israelite leader by the name of Moses. But they had also taken that law and they had expanded it to include about 613 different commandments. And they believed that to be God's law. And Paul says he's still under God's law while under Christ's law. And so what might this mean? How might this clarify around pursuing the wind that matters most in life? Well, when Jesus was asked to sum up God's law, he simply said two things: love God and love others. And then, shortly before his arrest and crucifixion, he looked at his followers and he just simply told them, "Even as I have loved you, so you must love one another." It appears that the law of love was the law of winning to Paul and to followers of Jesus, and maybe even people like you and people like me. And Paul goes on to talk about this approach that he takes to achieve his win of winning as many as possible. "To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some." When Paul says, "I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some," He isn't communicating that he's a contradiction in character. He doesn't change his values. He doesn't change his beliefs. He doesn't change who he is based on who he's with. He simply makes sure to connect with the people he's with in a way that connects them in consideration of following Jesus. He's intentional about not creating any barrier of offense so that people might consider following Jesus, which was Paul's win and what mattered most to him in life. Well, after communicating that he's willing to do anything to become all things to all people so that by all possible means he might save some, Paul jumps into a sports metaphor that the people of his day would have understood and that my guess is most of us would understand as well. Because when it comes to winning in life, in sports, in games, in the areas that matter most, it's not enough to just want to win. It's not enough to just wish to win. There are steps that we have to take to put ourselves in a position and on a path to win in the areas that matter most in life. And here's the metaphor that Paul shares. "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" We get this, right? We've all seen it. Some of us have even participated in it. Everybody lines up, everybody takes off, everybody runs, but only one gets the prize. One of the challenges with this is that in a race, it's easy to know where you stand in relationship to the competition. I mean, after all, they're lined up right next to you. And as you go down the track, there's somebody in front of you, there's somebody behind you, but you're able to clearly evaluate, assess, and understand where you stand in relationship to the competition and where you stand in relationship to the finish line. But when it comes to life and the things that matter most, it's not always that clear. Sometimes we aren't sure where we stand in relationship to the win. And sometimes it's because we haven't clarified the win. But other times it's because we've chosen the wrong win. And sometimes it's simply because we're comparing ourselves to everyone else in the race rather than focusing on what's most important. And then we wind up completely exhausted and completely worn out because we've run a race that we don't even know where the finish line is. We're not even sure we're on the right course. And before we know it, we may have even passed the finish line because we chose the wrong finish line. And we no longer even know what the prize is, let alone where we stand in relationship to it. And Paul says, "Do you not know that all the runners run in a race, but only one runs to get the prize?" And Paul tells us to run differently. And he says, run in such a way as to get the prize. He says to order our lives around the things that matter most in life. To get clear about what matters most. To get clear about what relationships look like. To get clear about what success looks like. To get clear about money and stuff. And then to order our lives around running in such a way as to get the prize. Now, Paul says that this is really pretty simple. You identify what is most important in your relationship with God and following Jesus, and then you order your life around it. But one thing he doesn't say is that it'll be easy. In fact, he says it will require effort on our part. He says everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. All of Paul's readers in the first century church in Corinth would have understood what he meant. For about 700 years, they had hosted these little mini Olympic games just outside of Corinth. And they had seen the strict training that the runners and the participants in the games went through. And they knew that the reason they went through such strict training is because they wanted to win. Because they knew winning is better than not winning. And every one of the athletes who won a race was given a crown that was made out of laurel leaves. But the crown was only yours as long as you were the victor, which goes to what Paul talked about when he said they run for a crown that will not last. You know, the laurel leaves could fade and wither and die. But the other aspect is, if you lost the next race, the crown that you were given for winning the previous race was taken and given to someone else. Oh, sure, you could always rest on your laurels if you wanted to rely on your past accomplishments. Yeah, that's where the phrase resting on your laurels comes from. But the more effective path is to go into strict training, to run in such a way to get the prize, and not just the prize that's temporal, but as Paul said, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Winning in the areas that matter most in life, in the here and now, is important. But there is so much more to it than just the here and now. The stakes of life are eternal. The reality is that we will all spend eternity somewhere. And the prize that Paul talks about is where we will spend eternity. And he ordered his life around winning by all means possible to invite as many to spend eternity in right relationship with God by choosing to follow Jesus. As a result of how Paul ordered his life and clarifying the win, he said that this influenced the path of his life. And here's what he says. He says, therefore, because the stakes are eternal, because everybody spends eternity somewhere, because we can run for a prize that doesn't last forever or one that does last forever, therefore, because of all of this, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Many of us have probably heard the old adage, aim at nothing and you'll hit it every time. We don't need to aim at nothing when it comes to life or the things that matter most in life. We don't need to just simply fire off the arrows and let them land somewhere and then run out and draw the target around them. We can get clear about what right relationship with God looks like as followers of Jesus. We can get clear about how right relationship with God as a follower of Jesus influences the path that we choose. We can choose to determine the approach that we take to run after something that matters most, even more important than in the here and now. We have only one life. And if we do not clarify the when, we will find ourselves running aimlessly in life. Or we will find ourselves running in comparison to someone else's life. Or we will find ourselves running a course that we don't even know where the finish line is. Or we will find ourselves running a race in which someone else's expectations have determined the win. Clarifying the win allows us to not run aimlessly in life. So today, right now, as you're listening to this, no matter how far or how near to God you would describe yourself, there is no more important decision and there is no more impactful decision that you can make than to determine where you stand in right relationship with God and whether or not you will follow Jesus and run in such a way as to get the prize. Let me pray as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for this story that Paul wrote, the metaphor that he used to communicate what was most important to him, which was winning people to follow Jesus. But thank you for the practical application for each and every one of us that can help us figure out what is most important and then to pursue that with the same sense of urgency and the same intensity that we would a race in which we know where we stand because everybody that's in it is all around us. The reality is that the race of life that we run, which is so much more than a game, is filled with people all around us who are easy to compare against, but are also in desperate need of needing to understand what right relationship with you is about. And so today, may each and every one of us choose what kind of race we will run and how we will run it. May we choose to run a race not for a crown that won't last forever, but a crown of eternity in right relationship with you because of Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for choosing to connect with Hurricane Community Church. And I hope that you'll connect with us again. And I hope that this time has helped you take a step in relationship with God and maybe even one step closer to following Jesus.
Thanks again for tuning in. And we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, Check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.